I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings this.
It's there. Hardman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
Hate
me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080. The Fan. The Odyssey app. YouTube. Twitch. We're global. We're global out here. We're all over the internet. Jordan Schultz across the glass from me. No Rashawn Taylor today. We'll get to that in a second. But Jordan, how are we doing this Sunday?
You know what? I am good. Probably a little too much liquor. My feet are sore from standing all night Friday at the Mariners game. But you can watch me look like I'm sore from Antarctica right now. So there you go. We are global, like you said.
Yeah, I don't know what came over me yesterday, but around 6:30, 7 o'clock, I hit a wall, and it was like I could not wait to go to bed at that point. And got back to the girlfriend's place, and it was one of those moments, like as soon as I laid on her couch,
it's done.
Out. I woke up like 2.5-3 hours later. Where am I? What's going on? She was nowhere to be found. She was already upstairs in her bedroom. Like, she was like, oh, yeah, I just let you be. I gave up. You're done.
She cannot carry you, that's for sure.
No, that is definitely not going to happen. But, yeah, yesterday was, it was a long day. Maybe that's what it was. It was just a long day for me. Too much booze, perhaps. It started in the, I guess you could say morning, 11 o'clock. Because that was the only time I could meet up with my friend over in Newburgh. He was in town from Eugene and had a couple beers at a place there. And then later in the day, and this is the reason why he is not here, it was Rashawn Taylor's wedding yesterday.
Dude, that was so much fun. Congrats to Rashawn. We love you. We love Mia. Like, that was what a ceremony that we were. Just what a privilege that we were given the invite to be a part of. That was so nice.
Yeah. Definitely caught me off guard, the venue, because like normally at weddings, it's, you know, either even if it's outside or inside, it's just chairs, right? Like it's rows of chairs.
Yeah.
But this was at the Portland Playhouse.
Yeah.
So where like they have plays. So it was very much like auditorium seating.
Yes.
So when you walked in, it was like the rows of seats were like staggered. So you were like in a theater, and it was like people like
risers of seats.
Yes. Yeah. And that threw me off like right away.
Totally.
And that bitch was packed.
Oh, like, my goodness.
I think you said you showed up like 2 minutes before me.
yes, sir. I was so happy. I'm like, all right, Joe and I are showing up right around the same time. This is good. Not too early, not too late. I was very happy about that fact.
Yeah, and it definitely caught me off guard because I was like, all right, let's walk in. And oh, boy, there's a lot of people here, and I don't see many empty seats anywhere. We found one empty seat, and then right next to it was this little gap between the seat and, like, the, I guess, like, the edge balcony.
Like a pillar?
Like, yeah, I guess. Something that was basically, like, the end of the risers and the bleachers.
But there was space enough for you to fit.
Oh, I barely squeezed right in there and was able to sit down next to the girl. Because, yeah it was slim pickings out there for seating. Like, you and the girl were separated at one point. You were down by, like, the family.
I see that. Okay. You know, when you're at a wedding and you're kind of just trying to go with the flow because you are a guest there and not trying to, you know, make any waves whatsoever. Just show up, sit down, watch the ceremony. That is what I was trying to do. But little did I know, Joe, at the top of that little stairwell down, and the Portland Playhouse is such a fun venue. I think it's like Prescott and MLK, and there's been so many great events there over the years.
I have never been there before.
It's a pretty sweet venue.
New venue to me.
Well, and the fanciness of the venue, let me tell you. I mean, this was like hand towels were actual towels in the bathroom.
Right. You told me that in the bathroom there was not paper towels.
No.
There was cloth towels to use after you wash your hands.
No, this was a highfalutin event.
Not for when you used the bathroom, just for when you washed your hands.
I mean, I think they had actual toilet paper for you. That would be disgusting. It's like, we got to have that conversation with like people that use like cloth diapers or something. That's a whole nother day. But no, what a venue.
Know it's 2024 and that you don't have to use cloth diapers anymore?
If you do, get your own damn washing machine.
Gross.
Specifically for the cloth diapers. But anyways, what a beautiful venue. But me being stuck basically at the top of that riser of seats, essentially, I kind of got pushed down to that side with the family because that's, little did I know, where the bride was walking down. So that's the last place that you want to be, of course. So yeah, had to get separated, but being next to the family and trying to go with the flow, that is a little odd. My wife was like, should we be here? And I'm like, babe,
are we allowed to sit here?
I'm just going where I'm told.
But yeah, it was great seeing Rashad get married. And his wife looked beautiful up there.
Yes.
He looked beautiful as well. It was a great day overall.
Well, at the Playhouse, you get married on stage. That's kind of the thing you're failing to mention here is the risers leading up to a stage where the groom himself, Rashad Taylor, came out to a bevy of applause to start the ceremony before his beautiful wife walked down the aisle. That was tops, bro.
Solid little spread, you know, from my DJing days of weddings back in the day. You know, it was a solid spread. I'll take it, you know. And it was basically one of those, you know, fend for yourselves. Like, we are not going to give you, like, you figure it out what you want. Like, here's everything. Take it or leave it.
It's good. We don't have to wait. We can just go and get it.
Listen, I had to stop myself from keep going back to those chicken wings because those were dangerous. Those were some damn good chicken wings.
They had, I believe it was Jamaican jerk or, like, blackened chicken wings plus some buffalo wings. And they had jalapeno poppers.
I was looking like for some type of like Tupperware that I could, you know, take home like a bevy of chicken wings home with me.
Oh,
like,
my
just
God.
Be like, listen, they're just sitting here. I don't think you guys are running out. Let me just snag a few of these and take them home with me, please.
Well, and all the desserts and like, you know, they had like fruit for people that were trying to stay healthy. My wife said, hands down, this was the best spread that we'd ever seen at a wedding.
There was a lot.
Yeah. I was like, babe, I have to agree with you. They
blueberry goat
one.
Cheese.
Ah, the blueberry goat cheese. Once again, making me happy. I'm not sitting in the same studio with you this morning, sir.
Oh, yeah. No, I've already lit this place up. The carbon monoxide sensor, I'm sure, will be going off within these 2 hours.
Oh, God.
But I hope everybody out there is having a great Sunday. Hope you had a great Saturday. I hope you're enjoying the overall weekend itself. Rashad, too. Dude, we told him, like, we were like, hey, I was more so on the line of like, dude, you don't have to come in on Sunday. Like, it's the day after your wedding. Like, I totally get it. And he was still just very much like, oh, no, I might pop in, you know,
for a segment,
you know, that maybe I come and do like two segments, Like, what are you talking about? I was like, remember last year when I said when I was going to Bend and I was going to like call in via Zoom and do the show
that.
Like live from Bend. Here I am. Like, yeah. And how that did not happen at all.
Hey, Joe Fisher hung over as hell here from Bend.
Yeah, I think I got up like finally out of bed at 11 a.m. after the show was over. So Rashad, yeah, I went and said bye to him like around, you know, towards the end of the wedding. And he was out hanging out with some friends. And
yeah.
I was like, hey, man, you know, have a good rest of your night. You know, enjoy your day tomorrow with the wife. And I was like, seriously, don't come in. And he's just like, oh, no. He's like, what if I'm just bored? What if I'm at home and it's morning time and I'm just bored? I'm like, I really don't care. Like, this is the one Sunday. Like, you really don't have to come in, dude. Are you kidding me? Like, I was like, hey, basically, happy wife, happy life. That is now what you have to live by. So if she's fine with it, if she's fine with you leaving the morning after your wedding day, which just the sound of that does not sound right. Like, if I was a wife,
I'm going to bring her on the press tour the next day. We're gonna, hey, babe, let's go on the
bring
radio.
Her in studio. I think he mentioned something like that. Like, what if she comes into the studio? I was like,
if she's down.
I was like, if she wants. Yeah. I was like, does she have some hot Caitlin Clark takes? Is that what we want to do today? This is actually on the Vancouver Ford text line. For the love of God, rescue me from another hour of Caitlin Clark talk. Well, I'm looking at my list here today. Segment one, Caitlin Clark talk. Segment two,
Angel Reese and Caitlin
Clark talk. Segment three. Okay, I'm going to just cross those out here for that listener. So, yeah, no, there will be no Caitlin Clark talk today. There will be no WNBA because there's plenty of other stuff to get to. But, man, I swear that algorithm on Twitter right now, the other day, I opened up that like For You section. I think there was like 4 to 5 straight tweets, videos, and clips of, I forget her name, but the other chick bumping her, giving her a hip throw and knocking her to the ground. I was like, oh my God. I was like, I don't know what I did, what I looked at, what I searched on Twitter to think it wants me to have 4 straight clips / tweets about this. I was like, one is fine. All right. I'll see one. I'm good. But my God, Elon, get to the AI, the algorithm, the placement of these tweets, because I do not need to see 4 straight. Okay.
Get back in the server room, dude. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Start unplugging some cords, plugging in some phone lines like you're an old school operator, something, for the love of God.
Speaking of that, I have to say, for the first time, my wife happened to yesterday see a Cybertruck in person. You bring Elon up, so it's the perfect transition.
I've seen a couple of them over the last week. I want to say I've seen 3 in the last week.
Yeah, we ended up seeing 2 in the same day yesterday.
And they are as ugly in person as you would think.
They are ungodly awful looking, and you just wonder. I mean,
hey, do you, boo-boo?
No,
you
exactly.
Got that much money, you want to spend it on that piece of hunk of crap? Like,
do you really want to hang out with that guy though? Because
no.
You really, 80 grand that you have to spend, because it used to, what was it proposed to be, 40? That's what we kind of used to hear, like initially when they were starting to make them, that would be kind of the price.
I did not
point.
Keep up on the price point, but if that was the case, if
it
they
was.
Were telling people it was going to be 40 grand up front, you know that's a bald-faced lie.
Oh, yeah, that Elon was trying to sell low, obviously, but now it's literally, yeah, people with gaudy amounts of money that want to look like asses are buying that car. So it's just beyond the car itself. Anybody that's buying it, I mean, I guess if you're listening in a Tesla Cybertruck right now, text in, let us know why you want to buy that hunk of crap here on the Vancouver Ford text line. But yeah, it's just like, that's not a guy or gal I'd want to have a beer with. I'm sorry, but maybe they don't want to have a beer with me either, so we're all set.
There was something I read about that, and we'll get to going here in just a sec. But because it is made with stainless steel,
yes,
and it does not have a coating, like a clear coating on the outside, that apparently, if you have it in an environment where it rains a lot, you will see rust and corrosion on the outside of the car over time.
So here?
Yeah.
In Seattle? Anywhere in the PNW?
So those 3 that I saw over the last week. Best of luck. Yeah. Let's see. Business Insider pointing to a thread on Cybertruck Owners Club forums. Wow, that place must be insufferable. Claim that corrosion is forming on the exterior of various Cybertruck owners' vehicles after exposure to rain.
Hey, Joe, it's not corrosion. It's a fancy orange-colored hue that yeah. develops over time to give it a nice patina.
This is a custom paint job that I put on here.
Nobody else can get this. See those markings? Those are unique to you, you jerks.
They also say that rail dust, tiny iron particles, can be kicked up by train wheels running on their tracks or by other sources of metal abrasion. They settle on surfaces and can themselves rust in certain conditions. So,
and this is after the initial announcement where that like big metal ball was supposed to be, you know, thrown at an indestructible truck and broke both windows. So it just that, come on, what are we doing here?
So the Sports Sunday poll question, it is not brought to you by this Cybertruck. It is actually brought to you by Zima. Yes. Which Kansas City Chiefs player would you want to see get tased by Secret Service? Because they just had their visit to the White House. Go ahead and vote on that. At 1080 the fan on Twitter/X. Right now, though, there is a far and away leader in the clubhouse. Your four choices: Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Harrison Butker, or Rashee Rice.
I mean, I guess you kind of made that a little easy.
How so?
You it was like a 50-50 in who wants to be a millionaire, because nobody's going to want to zap Pat Mahomes or Travis Kelce. The obvious choice is Rashee Rice. No, that's the obvious choice. Come
well, I put Patrick Come Mahomes on, because there's definitely a Scottie Scheffler kind of vibe to that. Like, he is like such a good person, goody two shoes, that if you saw the Bleacher Report notification, like, breaking, Patrick Mahomes tased by Secret Service, you're wondering, like, what the hell happened there? How does that happen?
I would love, if you wanted to get me with clickbait, I would be clicking on that faster than you could say Secret Service.
Yeah, 100%. But let's get to going here. We have ourselves an NBA Finals matchup. The Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, both wrapped up this week. And it will be the Boston Celtics versus Dallas Mavericks. I'm curious what the listeners out there are thinking. You can go ahead and text in as far as who do you want to win, who do you think will win. And Jordan and I will get to that next here on 1080 The Fan Sports Sunday.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
He gave me the nicest, longest piece of meat. It's so good.
A lot of jacking right now.
That is the only Rashad Taylor that you will hear on this Sports Sunday. Because he is out after getting married yesterday.
Yeah.
Congratulations to him.
Get him to the church on time. Oh, he was there on time.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, it is his, this is his second marriage. So glad that he showed up and didn't have cold feet.
Can I just say?
Last second just being like, yeah, actually, I remember how this went down the first time. I'm out.
On a quick personal note, that was really cool. I'm a product of many divorces, and to see the
a product of many divorces.
I'm not.
Isn't there usually only one divorce between your
between
actual,
one set of parents? Yes.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, no, I don't want to go like two therapy.
So having
here.
A step parent,
and then they lose the step parent too. Right. Like so, five divorces essentially between my two parents total that I dealt with before the age of 18, and to see the implementation of both of their kids with each other, and you know, on the altar, just really implementing them and saying like, "Hey, I love you, and welcome to my family." That really touched me, you know, like that got a tear to my eye, and that was really nice to see the love in that family. So moving on, just wanted to point that out, and God, what a great couple that Rashad and Mia are, and are going to continue to be.
Yeah, I'd never met his wife before, but she seems lovely. She seems fun. She seems jovial.
Oh my gosh!
All the good stuff.
All of it.
All the good stuff.
Actually, I tried not to. I stayed out of her way. I did not introduce myself to her last night. I'm like,
I
it's
caught
your
her
day.
For
I'll
like,
meet you later.
Oh, dude, I caught her for like 5 to 10 seconds, and then like immediately after, kind of introducing someone was like, "Mia, picture," and I was like, "Go do your thing." I did what I needed to do. That was the same good thing with like with his mom when she like, was passing by real quick. I was just like, "Hey, Rashad's mom, right? Hey, Joe, I work with him at the radio station. Just wanted to say hi. I've heard a lot about you. All right." And then she was off doing her
thing. Yeah, I jumped in on that with you. I apologize.
Oh, dude, I don't care. It's all good. I mean, yeah, again, I had seen and heard of her many, many times.
Totally.
So I was just like, let me... And I was surprised about how many people even knew about this dumb show that we do. They brought it up. Rashad mentioned something, I think, during his like speech at the cocktail party. And then even when we talked to Rashad's mom, dude, they're like, "Oh, the radio guys. Oh,
there was like a group of 10
people.
There
was like five or six of them." I was like, "What the hell?" I was like, "How do you guys know about this?"
That was so sweet.
Yeah. So
shout out to your fam.
Good set of people over there at the Rashad Taylor wedding. On the text line. About this World Series, my God, NBA Finals.
You wish. Actually, I kind of wish.
I know, right? I think this series boils down to what version of Porzingis the Celtics get. If he's close to 100%, the Celtics win. If not, it's a toss-up, in my opinion. Interesting.
Ooh, okay.
So, get to the Porzingis factor, but Jordan, I'm flummoxed. I don't know what to do here, because... My original prediction, I think, before the conference finals, when the conference finals were set for the East and West, I had the Mavericks beating the Timberwolves. I had the Celtics beating the Pacers. And I'm almost certain I took the Celtics winning the championship in 6 games is okay. What my prediction was before the conference finals.
Look
so,
you, Mr. Smarty. Congrats.
Well, hey, at least I'm not going to sit here and say that I had the Mavericks all along, you know, before the playoffs started, right?
Like, no,
I've always thought the Mavericks were going to be here.
I think Stephen A. moving on.
Yeah. So, with that being said, though, I'm still kind of, like I said, flummoxed is the word, because I really don't know what the Celtics are going to do as far as a size component. They have a great core four players on the backcourt, and I guess you would say the forwards of the Jays in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday and Derek White. But, and Luka and Kyrie, they're going to get theirs, right? Like, as far as offense goes, like, this series is going to have plenty of it. But I am really, I don't know if concerned is the right word, or curious to see how Boston is able to counteract the size of the Dallas Mavericks. Like, as that texter says, like, what type of Porzingis are they going to get? But Porzingis isn't a down-low paint guy for the most part. Yeah, he'll bang a little bit, and he'll be down there just because he is 7'2", 7'3". But as far as, like, size and strength goes, I mean, you're given the lean towards the Mavericks with Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington. He does hit threes, but he'll go down low as well. Like, that length and size on that side of this matchup, that's the part that makes me very, very curious to see how this series goes and how Boston is going to be able to counteract that. Because I'm still sticking with my Celtics, six games winning this 4-2 over the Mavericks. I think that this is going to be their, like, coronation series, and that, like, hey, we were this good all season long in the regular season. We've mopped the floor with all of our opponents in the Eastern Conference. And yeah, you could bring up the injuries factor, but even with that, we still did what we needed to do, right? No Haliburton. We beat them in, what is that, 4 or 5 games. We played against the Heat. No Jimmy Butler. We took care of them in quick work in 5 games. I'm forgetting the Cleveland Cavaliers. No Mitchell, no Allen, whatever the case was. We took care of them in 5 games. It wasn't like they played with their food and it was a 7-game series without these players, right? Like, they were like, okay, this team is down one of their key players. Let's take care of business. And they did in all 3 of those series, right? It wasn't competitive really in all of them. I guess you could say in the Pacers it was a little bit, but for the most part, I mean, Celtics, again, they won that series in, was that a sweep? I'm trying to remember. I don't think the Pacers got one, right? I'm totally blanking.
I feel like they got one, but God, I'm such a goldfish.
Seriously, right? Like, I am completely blanking on whether they got
4-0. Solid sweep.
Okay. So
yeah, it was because there was the game one collapse, I think, that you kind of thought that there was a Pacers win in there. And right from there, it was just, nope, Pacers, bye-bye.
And then that game 4 was a pretty good one, actually. Now I'm thinking
105-102
on Memorial Day on Monday when they played. So yeah, I'm still leaning Boston, but I'm very, very curious to see what they do with the size of Dallas.
You know, I know Dallas is technically, they are a bigger team, but the Pacers had some size as well. It's not like they're really throwing. I get that Lively's going to be getting block after block down there, but, you know, Gafford was the one who's only 6'10 that was kind of starting out these games for Dallas whenever they just kind of needed to get the offense going. Well, he's going to either get a couple of buckets down low, just easy, you know, start the offense to Gafford, or he's going to pick up a couple off of rebounds. And they were able to just kind of go consistently through the first quarter through Gafford through a lot of the playoffs so far. But Indiana, you know, they have what? Miles Turner, 6'10". Pascal Siakam's a little bit smaller, but he plays in the middle a lot. Boston handled that just fine. I'm not scared to see Boston throwing a 7-foot Al Horford out there, plus a 7-foot whatever Kristaps Porzingis. You know, Kristaps, in this, if he plays in this instance, he's going to be the one to stretch this out. Horford's going to be the guy that's going to play a little more down low. But you know the NBA now. Everybody's a stretch. They're all kind of hanging around the 3-point line a lot. And yeah, they're probably going to get some block shots. Tatum might, you know, be going to the hoop and just get some stuff just absolutely thrown out that you maybe wouldn't expect during the last couple of playoff series because they've been playing so well. But that's kind of the key here. Boston has been playing so well at the right time of year. And even if Dallas is big, can you stop their 3 scorers when they're on, Joe? I don't think you can. Tatum and Brown and whoever you want to throw in, I mean, whether it be Derek White one game, whether it be Horford hitting 7 threes to seal the series another game, like, they are unstoppable when they're scoring. So I don't care how big the other team is. I hate to say it, but I think I got to lean Boston here as well. You said 5 or 6.
I'm going 4-2 Boston on this.
If you're asking me to put money on it, yeah, it's probably like a -200 Boston and 6, but I would throw my money on that.
Also on the Vancouver Ford text line, should I do the read? Let's do the read.
Oh, I'll text, throw it in there.
Via Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. Treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. People are overcomplicating this series. The Mavs are the shiny new toy, and the C's are kind of old hat. But Boston is the better team overall and will win. I also think people are placing way too much stock in the failures of years ago, which I totally understand that. One of the things that drives me nuts about a current playoff series or team or something happening in the now is people like, well, here's their past record in conference finals or an NBA final. I'm like, okay, cool. So what does that have to do with now and this team with different players and this situation? Like, oh, nothing, because that was the past.
That's only relevant to the Cowboys.
Like, yeah, basically.
Sorry, Joe. I had
why are we
going to
do this?
I had to take this shot.
Listen, I'm already catching strays because the damn Dallas Stars. Shooty Scars!
Yes.
And who else? The Dallas Mavericks, because of two Dallas teams that are potentially going to be in championship rounds.
In an NFL market. My God. It is like poetry as a sports
God.
Fan.
I'm just sitting at home the other night watching like SportsCenter or something like that, and they throw up a graphic like, how many years since the last conference finals or like league championship that these Dallas-based teams have been at? Rangers, 0 years. Dallas Stars, 0 years. Dallas Mavericks, 0 years. Dallas Cowboys, 27 years or some crap. And I'm just like, well, why we got to do this? Why am I catching strays? But hey, honestly, put that pressure on them. I don't even care. And I agree with that texter and that overcomplicating the series. I feel like we're definitely prisoners of the moment sometime.
Yeah.
And what we just saw with the Mavericks and Kyrie and Luka and what they did the other night is that we're kind of lost in that moment. Like, damn, they're really good. That's a really good backcourt that is just potent offensively and seems to get any bucket they want. But this Celtics team won 64 games for a reason. They're really good too. They have, again, four players on their starting lineup between the Jays, Drew Holiday, who is a champion, and Derek White, who has been playing fantastically for them this entire season, that I'm going to lean towards the Celtics. I don't want to overthink this and overcomplicate it too much. I mean, the Mavericks are a great team, no doubt. Right now, and I couldn't tell if this was more so a value thing or, if this is how the audience actually feels, but referencing the AAA heating and cooling poll question from Primetime the other day, the question is, where is your money going for the NBA Finals? And the Mavericks won that poll question 52.6% to 47.4%. The Celtics are a -210 favorite. Mavericks a +175 dog. So
people playing the other side there. Okay, that's interesting.
Which I don't blame you. Like, right? If you're going to, that's not, it's not crazy. +175, that's pretty good odds. So it's like, why not throw a couple bucks on the Mavericks to take the series and win it? But I think just talent-wise, again, very curious to see what they do to combat the size. Outside of Porzingis, I mean, who are you going to throw out there as far as length and size-wise?
Luke Cornette.
Seriously, he is the next tallest person on that roster.
God.
Outside of Kristaps Porzingis at 7'1". And then you got...
Horford.
Yeah, but he is registered 6'9 on the roster. The next tallest guy after him is Tatum at 6'8". Xavier Tillman at 6'7". They got some dude, Nemeas Queta, at 7 foot. Tell me if you've heard of him before.
I've seen his card. That's about it.
Drew Peterson, 6'9". I think this was the kid where the pictures of him were going around in the locker room of him with the Eastern Conference Finals trophy at his locker. And people are like, who the hell is that? It was like when Kendrick Perkins was taking a picture with the Eastern Conference Finals trophy when he was on the Cavs that one random year years ago. And people were like, no, don't do this. Do not let him take a picture with that trophy.
I think us West Coasters should know who Drew Peterson is. He played in the now deceased Pac-12 for USC.
I'm seeing that now. USC. Yeah, I do not remember
I don't know.
At all.
Nope.
I am curious to see what the Celtics do with the size of the Mavericks and if that becomes a problem for them. I think they do have the coaching advantage the Mavericks do and Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
We shall see what happens. Game one of this series will start on Thursday, June 6th. And that is a 5:30 tip-off time on ABC. Now, the Mavericks, they did lose one game in the Western Conference Finals. In Minnesota, they were the victors, but there was something that happened after the game that many of you might not have noticed, and I want to bring this up because I think we can all join hands in unison and get behind this. We get to that next, Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. So the Minnesota Timberwolves, they won game four of this series to go down 3-1 and perform the gentleman sweep in the Western Conference Finals. But there was something that I saw arise from this game in this broadcast that I saw, and basically it was like, hey, inside the NBA, take note of this, you should probably take note of this. But the Minnesota Timberwolves were apparently in lockstep with each other that no player after the win was going to do a post-game interview with the Inside the NBA crew. Not one. So Anthony Edwards, not Anthony Bennett, Carl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley, whoever it was that they requested, apparently they were in lockstep that they did not want to do the post-game interview with the Inside the NBA crew. Why, you may ask? Is because they did not want to go up there after Draymond Green and everything he was saying and how he felt towards Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns and that team, which he made clear as day obvious after the last few games when they were in Minnesota. And I don't know if it was a scheduling conflict, but I did notice that Draymond was not there for game five in Minnesota after Dallas won. So he was not a part of the broadcast. But basically, I would say take note Inside the NBA in that if you have one season left of this broadcast, and if you are doing this for one more year, keep Draymond Green as far away from Studio J as possible. Do not let him come on any of the broadcasts in the playoffs. I don't know whose decision that was. I don't know if anybody is reading Twitter, Reddit, anything. It is a vast majority of people that are not fans of his being on that broadcast whatsoever. And me being one of them is, please, for the love of God, do not have him on the broadcast going forward, especially if this is your last year. They're probably going to throw him on some broadcast in December or some random ones during, I don't know, like All-Star break weekend, whatever they do. But for the love of God, do not bring him on any playoff broadcast next year, preferably any broadcast at all going forward.
Every single sports fan I've talked to asks me, why is Draymond Green on that coverage? Do you have any inkling? And I'm kind of left wordless. It's so frustrating to see. I guess really the reason why he feels so emboldened and empowered to continue to act like he does, one of the main reasons being is people behind the scenes in the NBA continue to give him these opportunities. You would think that the person that was suspended for, 20, 25 games for egregious physical behavior against other players, I mean, stuff that would get you arrested for assault, in the real world.
That's assault, brother.
Exactly. And, you know, I sound a little like, oh, I'm getting up on my high horse here. But am I really? Like, is it okay to actually go around smacking people like that in the balls? Smacking people like that? Tripping them in the stomach? Stomping
Shaq
on them when they're on the ground?
Shaq would smack him in the face, Ernie. What are you supposed to do, Ernie?
Well, yeah. Well, Shaq and I obviously differ on that, and I think he and I probably differ on a lot of other different things, probably agree on a few things as well. But I think a lot of other people disagree with Shaq on that also. It's like, dude, really? Draymond Green should not be given any kind of platform. He already has his podcast. For some reason, people still want to listen to it. I just, you know what? I'm a basic bitch, Joe, but I find no actual discernible reason as to why anybody would want to listen to Draymond or actually give him a platform. I don't know what those suits are thinking. Unless they're all just buddies, I do not know what's on their minds at TNT, why this would be a good look, or if they just live in such a bubble that they just don't effing care.
You're sick to my stomach, fam. But
yep.
Yeah, Draymond Green, apparently, and I go and look up his name on Twitter, I don't know why this happened, but apparently he was also at the desk at the Champions League final yesterday, too. Because, you know, if that's what soccer fans want to see, is Draymond Green on their broadcast.
Because
that makes a lot of sense.
I guess we really, I hate it. I see it every day, and I just don't want to admit it, but we do live in
Joel
a world.
Joel Embiid apparently was there, too, but, you know, I'll give him a pass because at least he, like, probably watches soccer
exactly.
From an international standpoint. Like, from Cameroon, part French, like, I'm sure he actually, like, pays attention
grew
to
up in
soccer.
The game a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, whereas, like, again, who's calling the shots here? Am I taking crazy pills? What is happening?
The fact that people are still answering Draymond Green's representative's calls is astounding to me. But we live in a world where once you're in the club, you're in the club. And that's the way that it is, Joe. And I don't really know how to put it beyond that. He's a great basketball player, but he has shown, and you can cite what a great family man and what a great husband and a great father that he's been. It's like, yeah, well, he set a terrible example for his wife and his kids too, specifically his kids going out and acting like this and saying daddy's in the right. No, he's not.
I am curious if there's anybody out there listening, and you can text in 503-864-6326 if you actually enjoy having Draymond on the broadcast at all. And also just text in if you agree with us, too, because I would love to know if, like, we're out to lunch on this, or because it seems like the consensus on this is that they are literally making that program worse. And it's a good thing he wasn't there during Game 5 when that was their last broadcast of the year, because it was just the crew, the four of them. And
yeah, the OGs. Yeah,
yeah, and it was watchable. What a concept. When I've seen Draymond on it, it's like just automatic channel turn, and it's just like, okay, I'll, you know, halftime, pregame, post, whatever, I'll watch something else, like, and then I'll get back to the game.
Well, you know that you don't actually have to believe what's coming out of the Golden State Warriors' mouths about their players either. You know, Steve Kerr earlier this year saying, well, we support Draymond, we need him on the roster. Well, they said the same thing about Klay Thompson at the end of the year, and there is no extension in sight with the Warriors. So this just really confuses me, Joe. We know that there's contention for Draymond Green amongst people in the league, but apparently it doesn't go high up enough to stop these kinds of opportunities from being given. It's astounding to me. And yeah, please, if I'm wrong, yeah, text me on the Vancouver Ford text line. Get me off my soapbox. But I want good people to be rewarded with good opportunities. And when I see a-holes get rewarded for you know, being a-holes with those same opportunities, it just, that literally makes me want to pull my hair out.
Hey, someone brings up a great point, though, that it worked out for Bill Laimbeer as he was a WNBA coach. Three-time WNBA champion as a head coach.
Who was the Celtics legendary announcer like, and it's stuffed by Laimbeer, the dirtiest player in the NBA. Like, yep.
I totally forgot about Laimbeer being a WNBA coach.
I did, too.
Won two championships. No, wait, three with the Detroit Shock. Well, there you go. I mean, it was the Detroit team. It's not like it was. But hey, he was ended up parlaying that into a New York Liberty job. And then he was the coach for the Aces just up until a couple of years ago. Now I think they have, Becky Hammon?
Yes,
as their
I
head
believe
coach.
She took that job.
So
still might get a job in the NBA someday from what I'm hearing about Becky Hammon. So.
We'll see. Sauces say. Oh, you're on the text line as well. Someone bringing up some hockey stuff.
Shoot these scores!
Florida versus Dallas. What an S finals. It could have been Rangers Oilers. I agree with you there. That would have been a good classic series there.
Yeah, the general hockey fan probably isn't tuning in.
And actually, good thing we brought up hockey, because we've seen this happen in hockey before. The 3-0 series deficit that team overcomes to win the series 4-3. We've seen it in baseball. I was apparently really bored yesterday because we have yet to see the 3-0 deficit overcame by an NBA team to win a series. We've seen teams win three in a row but not get that seventh game. And I was just curious how many times we saw a team win four straight games in an NBA series. Like, obviously, we've seen that with sweeps, you know,
yeah,
first-round sweeps. We see them all the time. But I was more so curious how many times we had seen it with a 2-0 deficit.
Ooh.
And how many playoff series they have been. And so how many ones we had seen from a 3-1 deficit, which obviously is just three wins in a row.
It wasn't the drinking. This is what made you sleepy, Joe, because it sounds like you had to dive into a lot of numbers.
I found them, though.
Good for you.
I found them. So, yeah, just a fun diving into this. We'll get into this next. How many teams in history? Because I also wanted to see, like, how often are we seeing teams win four straight games in a tough scenario when you're, I mean, even being down two games and a team just has to win two more and you go and win four straight, don't even give them a chance. I mean, we have seen it happen before. So let's do some history lesson here on Sports Sunday on 10 of the Fan next. More texts across the Vancouver Ford text line. It's the Howard Stern philosophy. People who hated him would tune in to see what he'd say. Hate watching. Just like I'm sure you are, some people are doing to this very show, hate listening.
It's very true. I get that concept. Just stop it. We're talking about Draymond Green from the last segment. Just stop giving bad people good opportunities. If you want, a person that's like, okay, we need to see what they're saying because they're so outlandish and we think their opinions suck fine.
It's
but
just
like,
with him. It's like it is so clearly biased in this series.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're literally going to have the dude on the broadcast against a team that has a player that he tried to choke out earlier in the season, which, like, come on, what are we doing? Like, oh, he's all of a sudden be like, man, yeah, actually, Rudy, really good guy, really good player, and also, I think he has some, very much has some envious attitude towards him because of all the Defensive Player of the Year awards that he wins, and that Draymond thinks he is just as good of a defender, if not better than Rudy, which, you know, whatever. But I think there's definitely a level of jealousy from that standpoint as well. Oh, my God. I'm watching the RBC Canadian. The cameraman literally almost just got taken out by a golf ball. That thing, that might have hit him.
That doesn't happen very often.
Dude, that thing, he was like halfway down the fairway, and he was like getting the shot of the golf ball coming into land, and it literally just went off frame to the left, and then he looks down, and the golf ball's like a foot away.
And Tommy Fleetwood just broke our $100,000 camera.
Dear God.
Oh, God.
What else here? I don't know. This is on the YouTube chat. I don't know if someone was saying that this was the commentator on the broadcast, John Havlicek, with that Lambeer call that you were talking about.
Havlicek, or maybe they were saying Havlicek was another sports villain. I was kind of wondering.
Havlicek stole the ball.
Exactly.
Havlicek stole the ball.
Yeah. And didn't he punch Rudy Tomjanovich as well? What was it? Or was that Kermit? No, that's Kermit Washington.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So Kermit Washington, technically on that villains list, but there are several people from back in that day that were a lot more physical than they are now in the NBA.
Quick tangent.
Obviously, of course.
Reading Havlicek's wiki page, the personal life section, or actually post-playing career section, rather. He was shrewd with his money during his playing career, and he invested much of his income in the Wendy's fast food chain during its formative years. The success of his investments left Havlicek with a comfortable income after retirement, and he never had to work for a conventional salary again.
That's
get
amazing.
That Wendy's money, brother.
Well, then I guess taking a shot from Bill Lambeer was worth it for John Havlicek. And honestly, one of several guys that actually was successful, like really successful in business later on in life. There's many of those athletes that, you know, ended up investing in a restaurant chain or starting business and just going bankrupt. See Kurt Schilling as a good example of that.
What are you talking about? What happened?
The entire state of Rhode Island? I digress.
Well, you know what? Thank you, John Havlicek, because I would say that Wendy's is definitely top three best fast food chain as far as when it comes to quality of burgers. Love their fries as well.
I go BK top fries for me. Hot fast food take.
I would say best fries, overall. Menu selection, quality of burgers, quality of food, the Frosty.
That goes to Wendy's.
I'm putting Wendy's at least top three, and they're making a fight for number one.
I just had a Frosty on Friday night. Is good, baby.
It's been a while since I've had a Frosty, but I do know. I appreciate game recognized game when it comes to the Frosty.
Well, when they started the vanilla Frosty, I'm just like, stop it. All right, it's a fat kid's dream.
Yeah, now they got that orange creamsicle one, which... They have a orange creamsicle Frosty that have yet to get for my son. He's a big orange creamsicle fan, and we have yet to make that stop at Wendy's to let him get one. But I digress. As we get back to sports stuff, I went through and poured through the records. First of all, do you want to take a guess of how many Game 7 series there have been in NBA history?
Series that have gone to a game seven?
No, just game seven series that have been played. So whether it went to 4, 5, 6, or 7, just a total of game seven.
Oh, thank you. Okay, all right.
The history of the NBA.
4,000 something?
eliminate a zero. 406.
Okay.
Game seven. Because we started doing the game sevens in the first round back in, what was that, 2012? 2013? I could be way off.
That makes sense. Yeah, we eliminated the first round 5-game series. Actually, even before that, it was actually in the mid-2000s.
That makes more sense.
It was the first season that the Portland that it was in practice that the Portland Trailblazers came back in the first round against the Dallas Mavericks from a three.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing.
your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So the Minnesota Timberwolves, they won game 4 of this series to go down 3-1. And performed the gentleman sweep in the Western Conference Finals. But there was something that I saw arise from this game in this broadcast that I saw. And basically it was like, hey, inside the NBA, take note of this. You should probably take note of this. But the Minnesota Timberwolves were apparently in lockstep with each other that no player after the win was going to do a post-game interview with the Inside the NBA crew. Not one. So Anthony Edwards, not Anthony Bennett, Carl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley, whoever it was that they requested, apparently they were in lockstep that they did not want to do the post-game interview with the Inside the NBA crew. Why, you may ask? Is because they did not want to go up there after Draymond Green and everything he was saying and how he felt towards Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns and that team, which he made clear as day obvious after the last few games when they were in Minnesota. And I don't know if it was a scheduling conflict, but I did notice that Draymond was not there for game 5 in Minnesota after Dallas won. So he was not a part of the broadcast. But basically, I would say take note inside the NBA in that if you have one season left of this broadcast, and if you are doing this for one more year, keep Draymond Green as far away from Studio J as possible. Do not let him come on any of the broadcasts in the playoffs. I don't know whose decision that was. I don't know if anybody is reading Twitter, Reddit, anything. It is a vast majority of people that are not fans of his being on that broadcast whatsoever. And me being one of them is, please, for the love of God, do not have him on the broadcast going forward, especially if this is your last year. They're probably going to throw him on some broadcast in December or some random ones during, I don't know, like All-Star break weekend, whatever they do. But for the love of God, do not bring him on any playoff broadcast next year, preferably any broadcasts at all going forward.
Every single sports fan I've talked to asks me, why is Draymond Green on that coverage? Do you have any inkling? And I'm kind of left wordless. It's so frustrating to see, I guess, really the reason why he feels so emboldened and empowered to continue to act like he does. One of the main reasons being is people behind the scenes in the NBA continue to give him these opportunities. You would think that the person that was suspended for, what, 20, 25 games for egregious physical behavior against other players, I mean, stuff that would get you arrested for assault, in the real world.
That's assault, brother.
Exactly. And, you know, I sound a little like, oh, I'm getting up on my high horse here. But am I really? Like, is it okay to actually go around smacking people like that in the balls? Smacking people like that? Tripping them in the stomach? Stomping on them when they're on the ground?
Shaq would
smack him in the face, Ernie. You're supposed to do, Ernie.
Well, Well, Shaq and I obviously differ on that, and I think he and I probably differ on a lot of other different things, probably agree on a few things as well. But I think a lot of other people disagree with Shaq on that also. It's like, dude, really? Draymond Green should not be given any kind of platform. He already has his podcast. For some reason, people still want to listen to it. I just, you know what? I'm a basic bitch, Joe, but I find no actual discernible reason as to why anybody would want to listen to Draymond or actually give him a platform. I don't know what those suits are thinking. Unless they're all just buddies, I do not know what's on their minds at TNT, why this would be a good look, or if they just live in such a bubble that they just don't effing care. I don't know.
You're sick to my stomach, fam. But
yep.
Yeah, Draymond Green apparently, and as I go and look up his name on Twitter, I don't know why this happened, but apparently he was also at the desk at the Champions League final yesterday, too. Because, you know, if that's what soccer fans want to see is Draymond Green on their broadcast,
I guess
that makes a lot of sense.
I guess we really I hate it. I see it every day and I just don't want to admit it, but we do live in
Joel
a world.
Joel Embiid apparently was there too, but you know, I'll give him a pass because at least he like probably watches soccer
exactly.
From an international standpoint, like right? From Cameroon, part French, like I'm sure he actually like pays attention
grew
to
up in
soccer
the game a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, whereas like again, who's calling the shots here? Am I taking crazy pills? What is happening?
The fact that people are still answering Draymond Green's representative's calls is astounding to me. But we live in a world where once you're in the club, you're in the club. And that's the way that it is, Joe, and I don't really know how to put it beyond that. He's a great basketball player, but he has shown, and you can cite what a great family man and what a great husband and a great father that he's been. It's like, yeah, well, he set a terrible example for his wife and his kids too, specifically his kids going out and acting like this and saying daddy's in the right. No, he's not.
I am curious if there's anybody out there listening, and you can text in 503-864-6326 if you actually enjoy having Draymond on the broadcast at all. And also just text in if you agree with us, too, because I would love to know if, like, we're out to lunch on this or because it seems like the consensus on this is that they are literally making that program worse. And it's a good thing he wasn't there during Game 5 when that was their last broadcast of the year because it was just the crew, the four of them. And
yeah, the OGs. Yeah,
yeah, and it was watchable. What a concept. When I've seen Draymond on it, it's like just automatic channel turn, and it's just like, okay, I'll, you know, halftime, pregame, post, whatever, I'll watch something else, like, and then I'll get back to the game.
Well, you know that you don't actually have to believe what's coming out of the Golden State Warriors' mouths about their players either. You know, Steve Kerr earlier this year saying, well, we support Draymond, we need him on the roster. Well, they said the same thing about Klay Thompson at the end of the year, and there is no extension in sight with the Warriors. So this just really confuses me, Joe. We know that there's contention for Draymond Green amongst people in the league, but apparently it doesn't go high up enough to stop these kinds of opportunities from being given. It's astounding to me, and Yeah, please, if I'm wrong, yeah, text me on the Vancouver Ford text line. Get me off my soapbox. But I want good people to be rewarded with good opportunities. And when I see a-holes get rewarded for being a-holes with those same opportunities, that literally makes me want to pull my hair out.
Hey, someone brings up a great point, though, that it worked out for Bill Laimbeer as he was a WNBA coach. 3-time WNBA champion as a head coach.
Who was the Celtics legendary announcer like, and it's stuffed by Laimbeer, the dirtiest player in the NBA. Like, yep.
I totally forgot about Laimbeer being a WNBA coach.
I did too.
Won 2 championships. No, wait, 3 with the Detroit Shock. Well, there you go. I mean, it was the Detroit team. It's not like it was, but hey, he was, ended up parlaying that into a New York Liberty job, and then he was the coach for the Aces just up until a couple of years ago. Now I think they have, Becky Hammon?
Yes,
as their
I
head
believe
coach.
She took that job.
So,
still might get a job in the NBA someday from what I'm hearing about Becky Hammon. So.
We'll see. We'll see. Sauces say. Oh, here on the text line as well, someone bringing up some hockey stuff.
Shooty scores!
Florida versus Dallas. What an S finals. It could have been Rangers Oilers. I agree with you there. That would have been a good classic series there.
Yeah, the general hockey fan probably isn't tuning in.
And actually, good thing we brought up hockey, because we've seen this happen in hockey before. The 3-0 series deficit that a team overcomes to win the series 4-3. We've seen it in baseball. I was apparently really bored yesterday because we have yet to see the 3-0 deficit overcame by an NBA team to win a series. We've seen teams win 3 in a row but not get that 7th game. And I was just curious how many times we saw a team win 4 straight games in an NBA series. Like, obviously, we've seen that with sweeps, you know,
yeah,
first round sweeps. We see them all the time. But I was more so curious how many times we had seen it with a 2-0 deficit.
Ooh.
And how many playoff series they have been. And so how many ones we had seen from a 3-1 deficit, which obviously is just 3 wins in a row.
It wasn't the drinking. This is what made you sleepy, Joe, because it sounds like you had to dive into a lot of numbers.
I found them, though.
Good for you.
I found them. So, yeah, just a fun diving into this. We'll get into this next. How many teams in history? Because I also wanted to see, like, how often are we seeing teams win 4 straight games in a tough scenario when you're, I mean, even being down 2 games and a team just has to win 2 more and you go and win 4 straight, don't even give them a chance. I mean, we have seen it happen before. So let's do some history lesson here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan next. More texts across the Vancouver Ford text line. It's the Howard Stern philosophy. People who hated him would tune in to see what he'd say. Hate watching. Just like I'm sure you are, some people are doing to this very show, hate listening.
It's very true.
I
get that concept. Just stop it. We're talking about Draymond Green from the last segment. Just stop giving bad people good opportunities. If you want, a person that's like, okay, we need to see what they're saying because they're so outlandish and we think their opinions suck is fine.
It's just like with him. It's like it is so clearly biased in this series.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're literally going to have the dude on the broadcast against a team that has a player that he tried to choke out earlier in the season, which, like, come on, what are we doing? Like, oh, he's all of a sudden be like, man, yeah, actually, Rudy, really good guy, really good player, and and also, I think he has some, very much has some envious attitude towards him because of all the Defensive Player of the Year awards that he wins, and that Draymond thinks he is just as good of a defender, if not better than Rudy, which, you know, whatever. But I think there's definitely a level of jealousy from that standpoint as well. Oh, my God. I'm watching the RBC Canadian. The cameraman literally almost just got taken out by a golf ball. That thing, that might have hit him.
That doesn't happen very often.
Dude, that thing, he was like halfway down the fairway, and he was like getting the shot of the golf ball coming into land, and it literally just went off frame to the left, and then he looks down, and the golf ball's like a foot away.
And Tommy Fleetwood just broke our $100,000 camera.
Dear God.
Oh, God.
What else here? Yeah, I don't know. This is on the YouTube chat. I don't know if someone was saying that this was the commentator on the broadcast, John Havlicek, with that Laimbeer call that you were talking about.
Maybe, yeah, Havlicek, or maybe they were saying Havlicek was another sports villain. I was kind of wondering.
Havlicek stole the ball.
Exactly.
Havlicek stole the ball.
Yeah. And well, didn't he punch Rudy Tomjanovich as well? What was it? Or who? Or was that Kermit? No, that's Kermit Washington.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So Kermit Washington, technically on that villains list, but there's There are several people from back in that day that were a lot more physical than they are now in the NBA.
Quick tangent.
Obviously, of course.
Reading Havlicek's wiki page, the personal life section, or actually post-playing career section, rather. He was shrewd with his money during his playing career, and he invested much of his income in the Wendy's fast food chain during its formative years. The success of his investments left Havlicek with a comfortable income after retirement, and he never had to work for a conventional salary again.
That's
get
amazing.
That Wendy's money, brother.
Well, then I guess taking a shot from Bill Laimbeer was worth it for John Havlicek. And honestly, one of several guys that actually was successful, like really successful in business later on in life. There's many of those athletes that, you know, ended up investing in a restaurant chain or starting business and just going bankrupt. See Kurt Schilling as a good example of that.
What are you talking about? What happened?
The entire state of Rhode Island? I digress.
Well, you know what? Thank you, John Havlicek, because I would say that Wendy's is definitely top three best fast food chain as far as when it comes to quality of burgers. Love their fries as well.
I go BK top fries for me. Hot fast food take.
I would say best fries, overall menu selection, quality of burgers, quality of food, the Frosty.
That goes to Wendy's.
I'm putting Wendy's at least top three, and they're making a fight for number one.
I just had a Frosty on Friday night. Is good, baby.
It's been a while since I've had a Frosty, but I do know. I appreciate game-recognized game when it comes to the Frosty.
Well, when they started the vanilla Frosty, I'm just like, stop it. All right, it's a fat kid's dream.
Yeah, now they got that orange creamsicle one, which they have a orange creamsicle Frosty that yet to get for my son. He's a big orange creamsicle fan, and we have yet to make that stop at Wendy's to let him get one. But I digress. As we get back to sports stuff, I went through and poured through the records. First of all, do you want to take a guess of how many Game 7 series there have been in NBA history?
Series that have gone to a Game 7?
No, just Game 7 series that have been played. So whether it went to 4, 5, 6, or 7, just a total of Game 7.
Oh, thank you. Okay, all right.
The history of the NBA.
4,000-something?
eliminate a zero. 406.
Okay.
Game 7. Because we started doing the Game 7s in the first round back in, what was that, 2012? 2013? I could be way off.
Oh, yeah, duh. That makes sense. Yeah, we eliminated the first round 5-game series. Actually, even before that, it was actually in the mid-2000s.
That makes more sense.
It was the first season that the Portland it was in practice that the Portland Trailblazers came back in the first round against the Dallas Mavericks from a 3-0 deficit and actually came back and played Game 7, did not win.
2003, first round was extended to a best-of-7 series.
And that was that season. That was at that Game 4 where they started that series comeback. Pretty
fun. 406 Game 7 series in NBA history. Teams that were able to overcome a 2-0 deficit and win 4 straight games. Because the 4 straight, I mean, that's what you got to do when you're down 3-0. So I was like, all right, that's never happened, obviously. So let's take a look at the 2-0 series deficit and how many teams have gone on to win 4 straight games. Because at that point, I mean, seems like both teams are pretty damn good in that series. One team wins the first 2 games. Seems like they're clearly capable of getting a win. I didn't want to see 4 straight wins in a sweep. We see that all the time in the first round.
But the whole argument is that winning 4 straight while down is really hard, if not near impossible.
Yes, because it's never happened in a 3-0 series. But do you want to guess how many times it has happened down 2-0?
10?
14 times.
Wow. So we're looking at out of 400, that's like, less than like 0.3%.
Let's 0.5? Pull out my trusty calculator here. 3.4% of NBA series, we have seen a team overcome a 2-0 deficit and win 4 straight games. We've seen, you know, on this list also, there's plenty of teams. I think it was like 30. It's happened 30-something times where a team has overcome a 2-0 deficit and then won it in Game 6 or Game 7. So it made it, you know, a 7-game series. But to win 4 straight after going down 2-0, that has only happened 14 times. The teams that did it in the first round of the playoffs, 2017 Celtics, 2016 Blazers against the Clippers, And that was mostly due to injury. That was when Chris Paul went out. I want to say that Blake Griffin went out, and yeah, it was just an avalanche for the Blazers, where they were able to win four in a row. 2013 Grizzlies and 2005 Wizards, which I weirdly remember that series because it was against the Bulls. And I remember it was like a 4-5. That was like the Kirk Heinrich Bulls teams back then. In the semifinals, the 2021 Clippers were able to do that against the Jazz, 2004 Lakers, and then the 1969 Lakers. In the conference finals, this is when it has happened in history. The 93 Bulls, pretty good team.
Yeah.
They were able to beat the Knicks, overcome a 2-0 deficit to go to the NBA Finals. The 2007 LeBron James-led Cavaliers were able to overcome the Detroit Pistons, which had a couple championships under their belt, and they were able to win that series and advance to the conference, or the WNBA, the NBA Finals, where they then lost to the Spurs 4-0 in that series. This one I do remember, the 2012 Thunder versus the Spurs.
Yeah.
Because that was, I just remember being shocked that the Spurs being the Spurs.
The Spurs were, yeah, that dynasty was starting to topple, yeah.
Were at a 2-0 series lead in the conference finals, and then lost four straight to Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
Kind of the changing of the guard of the NBA.
The Young Thunder. Now the Spurs, they went and made up for it the very next year by winning the NBA Finals against the Heat.
Yeah, one more time, but you could start to see the cracks in the Spurs shield at that point.
Correct. And then the 2019 Toronto Raptors with Kawhi Leonard, they overcame a 2-0 deficit against the Bucks in the conference finals. And I remember that as well, because I just remember Giannis and the Bucks catching a lot of heat for that. Like, you had a 2-0 series lead. When is it going to be your time? When are you going to finally show up in the playoffs and get to the NBA finals, which they were able to 2 years later. Now, can you name the three teams that were able to overcome a 2-0 deficit? You should know one of these. Now, I won't be surprised if, you don't get it, but looking up this, I sure as hell didn't know it until I looked it up. I remember hearing it in the past, but if I were to be asked this question, I don't think I would have been able to guess any one of these questions.
This is
honestly
the NBA Finals?
NBA Finals. The three teams that were able to overcome a 2-0 deficit.
Are the Warriors one? Didn't they come back from one of them? No?
The Warriors are not one. Oh, the Cavs are the only team in NBA Finals to overcome the 3-1 deficit.
Okay.
With LeBron. And that was the year that Klay Thompson, said that he must have been in his feelings and must have been, a little too sensitive. And then Draymond Green got suspended for game 6. That was that same series.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, NBA Finals. Three teams. One happened recently. One happened against a team that is in this year's NBA Finals. There's a hint. And then one is near and dear to our hearts.
It just lame on me, dude. I'm like, my alcohol's clouding my brain this morning. My feet are the biggest thing on my mind.
2021 Bucks.
Oh, duh.
So against the Phoenix Suns in 2021.
The great Monty Williams collapse, yes.
The Suns,
how could I forget?
Got the first two games, and then the Bucks went on to win four straight to win the NBA Finals. The next one, this was the one where I said it was against a team that is in this year's NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Dallas Mavericks. They went up 2-0 and then lost four straight to the Miami Heat, the Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal Miami Heat team. They won four straight over the Dallas Mavericks in that NBA Finals.
Oh, I forgot that Dallas, they were kind of close to getting two at that point.
They were up 2-0 in that series and then lost four straight. And then the other team, this was the one that is near and dear to our hearts, Jordan, the 1977 Portland Trailblazers. They were down 2-0 to the Philadelphia 76ers, and then Bill Walton, rest in peace, and those Trailblazers were able to win four straight to win the NBA Finals. Another fun fact about that Trailblazers team that I did not know, that was their first playoff appearance ever for the Trailblazers. Like, that core of players, I think maybe as a franchise, I don't know, I'd have to look that up, but the whole adage of this team, they don't have playoff experience. They haven't been here before. I'm not going to take them to go to the NBA Finals or win the NBA because they've never been here. They don't have the experience. This was one of those teams that threw it back in the face of pundits, of the media, of everybody, because they had not been to this position ever before.
Yeah, it was their first playoff season ever.
There you go. First playoff season ever in Trailblazers history led to a championship in 1977 and them overcoming a 2-0 deficit.
Only won 49 games that year.
Really?
Yes.
I know that I want to say that they were like the 3 seed in the West.
They were the second of five.
Second of 5 seeds?
Yeah. Maybe that's their division.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That would make a little bit more sense, yeah.
No, I think, yeah, because it's just weird because on the reference page it says, like, 7 sometimes, but then it's 5 because I think they were, like, they did, like, Western Conference or a Western Division with the Blazers, Lakers, Timberwolves, like, Nuggets all in one, and that's when it was 7, so I gotcha.
And from this list, there was only one team that had ever overcame a 2-0 deficit twice in one playoff run, and that was the 2021 Bucks. They were in the NBA Finals, overcame the deficit 2-0, won the series 4-2, and I want to say it was either their second round or the conference finals. They were also down 2-0.
Jeez.
And they won the series in 7 games. So they did drop another game in that series, but they are the only team in NBA history to go down 2-0 twice in a playoff run and win both those series.
That's extra impressive because you think about the actual numbers of playoff games. You're literally looking at almost half a season, you know, if you're playing the 28 games. And if actually, heck, now with the play-in, you could play 30 or more games essentially just in the playoffs if you make it to the NBA Finals. So that's impressive. It's why those comebacks are so rare.
So a little bit of fun little history right there. I was curious the other day because, again, it's like that 3-0 deficit where a team wins 4 straight. We will see it someday. Yeah. It will happen. But the fact that we have gone over 400 playoff series, game 7 series in the NBA, and have yet to see it happen. And then we've only seen the 2-0 deficit overcame with 4 straight wins. 3% of the time, 3.4% of the time. That's pretty rare in itself, too.
Another perfect game in MLB or this happening first? Which do you predict, Joe?
Another perfect game?
Like, a perfect game coming or like, which will happen first? A perfect game in MLB from today or a series deficit being won by a team down 3-0?
I'll go perfect game.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go perfect game because the fact that we've seen a perfect game, I mean,
good point.
What was the last one? Was Felix, though?
I believe it.
Am I correct? No, we just
didn't
got
the Astros. The Astros kid threw a perfect game this year, I thought.
Ronel Blanco did not.
No, it was a no hitter. My bad.
Yeah.
Thought we got one since Felix, but it might have been.
I was
going to
say, I feel like we just had one like
last year. Yeah.
I was like, wait a second.
Armando Galarraga. Just kidding.
let's not do that. But MLB perfect
games. I got a Corvette out of the deal. He's all right.
Oh, my God. This kills me. It's like it literally just happened. There's too many damn sports, man. Domingo Herman.
Thank you.
From the Yankees last year. That's what it was. All right. Dear God. Okay, let's take a break. Hour number one in the books. We got some football stuff to get to. Team has been selected for Hard Knocks. I want to get to some audio that has to do with our poll question for today. By the way, our poll question on the 1080 The Fan Twitter account, brought to you by Zima. Which Kansas City Chiefs player would you want to get tased by Secret Service? Is it Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Harrison Butker, or Rashee Rice? And the numbers have shifted. Now, the leader in this poll, it is not. He has stayed the leader in this the entire time. And right now, still Harrison Butker in the lead at 44%. But we'll get Travis Kelce, though. He is coming up the rear at 29.6%.
Yeah, they're all just jealous because he's with Tay-Tay and they're not. That's where that's coming
from. Rashee Rice, he started out at 5% in this poll. He has now climbed the rankings. He is tied with Patrick Mahomes at 13%.
It's because they remembered what he did.
They're like, wait, why is he on this? Oh,
crap.
Right. All right, let's take a break. Hour number two coming up here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
More texts across the Vancouver Ford text line. It's the Howard Stern philosophy. People who hated him would tune in to see what he'd say. Hate watching. Just like I'm sure you are, some people are doing to this very show. Hate listening.
It's very true. I get that concept. Just stop it. We're talking about Draymond Green from the last segment. Just stop giving bad people good opportunities. If you want, a person that's like, okay, we need to see what they're saying because they're so outlandish and we think their opinions suck is fine.
It's but just like, with him. It's like it is so clearly biased in this series.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're literally going to have the dude on the broadcast against a team that has a player that he tried to choke out earlier in the season, which, like, come on, what are we doing? Like, oh, he's all of a sudden be like, man, yeah, actually, Rudy, really good guy, really good player, and also, I think he has some, very much has some envious attitude towards him because of all the Defensive Player of the Year awards that he wins, and that Draymond thinks he is just as good of a defender, if not better than Rudy, which, you know, whatever. But I think there's definitely a level of jealousy from that standpoint as well. Oh, my God. I'm watching the RBC Canadian. The cameraman literally almost just got taken out by a golf ball. That thing, that might have hit him.
That doesn't happen very often.
Dude, that thing, he was like halfway down the fairway, and he was like getting the shot of the golf ball coming into land, and it literally just went off frame to the left, and then he looks down, and the golf ball's like a foot away.
And Tommy Fleetwood just broke our $100,000 camera.
Dear God.
Oh, God.
What else here? I don't know. This is on the YouTube chat. I don't know if someone was saying that this was the commentator on the broadcast, John Havlicek, with that Lambeer call that you were talking about.
Havlicek, or maybe they were saying Havlicek was another sports villain. I was kind of wondering.
Havlicek stole the ball.
Exactly.
Havlicek stole the ball.
Yeah. And well, didn't he punch Rudy Tomjanovich as well? What was it? Or was that Kermit? No, that's Kermit Washington.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So Kermit Washington, technically on that villains list, but there are several people from back in that day that were a lot more physical than they are now in the NBA.
Quick tangent.
Obviously, of course.
Reading Havlicek's wiki page, the personal life section, or actually post-playing career section, rather. He was shrewd with his money during his playing career, and he invested much of his income in the Wendy's fast food chain during its formative years. The success of his investments left Havlicek with a comfortable income after retirement, and he never had to work for a conventional salary again.
That's
get
amazing.
That Wendy's money, brother.
Well, then I guess taking a shot from Bill Laimbeer was worth it for John Havlicek. And honestly, one of several guys that actually was successful, like really successful in business later on in life. There's many of those athletes that, you know, ended up investing in a restaurant chain or starting businesses and just going bankrupt. See Kurt Schilling as a good example of that.
What are you talking about? What happened?
The entire state of Rhode Island? I digress.
Well, you know what? Thank you, John Havlicek, because I would say that Wendy's is definitely top three best fast food chain as far as when it comes to quality of burgers. Love their fries as well.
I go BK top fries for me. Hot fast food take.
I would say best fries, overall. Menu selection, quality of burgers, quality of food, the Frosty.
That goes to Wendy's.
I'm putting Wendy's at least top three, and they're making a fight for number one.
I just had a Frosty on Friday night. Is good, baby.
It's been a while since I've had a Frosty, but I do know. I appreciate game recognized game when it comes to the Frosty.
Well, when they started the vanilla Frosty, I'm just like, stop it. All right, it's a fat kid's dream.
Yeah, now they got that orange creamsicle one, which... They have a orange creamsicle Frosty that have yet to get for my son. He's a big orange creamsicle fan, and we have yet to make that stop at Wendy's to let him get one. But I digress. As we get back to sports stuff, I went through and poured through the records. First of all, do you want to take a guess of how many Game 7 series there have been in NBA history?
Series that have gone to a game seven?
No, just game seven series that have been played. So whether it went to 4, 5, 6, or 7, just a total of game seven.
Oh, thank you. Okay, that, all right.
The history of the NBA.
4,000 something?
eliminate a zero. 406.
Okay.
Game seven. Because we started doing the game sevens in the first round back in, what was that, 2012? 2013? I could be way off.
That makes sense. Yeah, we eliminated the first round 5-game series. Actually, even before that, it was actually in the mid-2000s.
That makes more sense.
It was the first season that the Portland that it was in practice that the Portland Trailblazers came back in the first round against the Dallas Mavericks from a 3-0 deficit and actually came back and played Game 7, did not win.
2003, first round was extended to a best-of-7 series.
And that was that season. That was at that Game 4 where they started that series comeback. Pretty
fun. 406 Game 7 series in NBA history. Teams that were able to overcome a 2-0 deficit and win 4 straight games. Because the 4 straight, I mean, that's what you got to do when you're down 3-0. So I was like, all right, that's never happened, obviously. So let's take a look at the 2-0 series deficit and how many teams have gone on to win 4 straight games. Because at that point, I mean, seems like both teams are pretty damn good in that series. One team wins the first 2 games. Seems like they're clearly capable of getting a win. I didn't want to see 4 straight wins in a sweep. We see that all the time in the first round.
But the whole argument is that winning 4 straight while down is really hard, if not near impossible.
Yes, because it's never happened in a 3-0 series. But do you want to guess how many times it has happened down 2-0?
10?
14 times.
Wow. So we're looking at out of 400, that's like, shoot, less than like 0.3%.
Let's 0.5%? Pull out my trusty calculator here. 3.4% of NBA series, we have seen a team overcome a 2-0 deficit and win 4 straight games. We've seen, you know, on this list also, there's plenty of teams. I think it was like 30. It's happened 30-something times where a team has overcome a 2-0 deficit and then won it in Game 6 or Game 7. So it made it, you know, a 7-game series. But to win 4 straight after going down 2-0, that has only happened 14 times. The teams that did it in the first round of the playoffs, 2017 Celtics, 2016 Blazers against the Clippers. And that was mostly due to injury. That was when Chris Paul went out. I want to say that Blake Griffin went out, and it was just an avalanche for the Blazers where they were able to win 4 in a row. 2013 Grizzlies and 2005 Wizards, which I weirdly remember that series because it was against the Bulls. And I remember it was like a 4-5. That was like the Kirk Heinrich Bulls teams back then. In the semifinals, the 2021 Clippers were able to do that against the Jazz, 2004 Lakers, and then the 1969 Lakers. In the conference finals, this is when it has happened, in history. The 93 Bulls, pretty good team.
Yeah.
They were able to beat the Knicks, overcome a 2-0 deficit to go to the NBA Finals. The 2007 LeBron James-led Cavaliers were able to overcome the Detroit Pistons, which had a couple championships under their belt, and they were able to win that series and advance to the conference or the WNBA, the NBA Finals, where they then lost to the Spurs 4-0 in that series. This one I do remember, the 2012 Thunder versus the Spurs.
Yeah.
Because that was, I just remember being shocked that the Spurs being the Spurs.
The Spurs were, yeah, that dynasty was starting to topple, yeah.
Were at a 2-0 series lead in the conference finals and then lost four straight to Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
Kind of the changing of the guard of the
NBA.
Yeah,
the young Thunder. Now the Spurs, they went and made up for it the very next year by winning the NBA Finals against the Heat.
Yeah, one more time, but you could start to see the cracks in the Spurs shield at that point.
Correct. And then the 2019 Toronto Raptors with Kawhi Leonard, they overcame a 2-0 deficit against the Bucks in the conference finals. And I remember that as well because I just remember Giannis and the Bucks catching a lot of heat for that. Like, you had a 2-0 series lead. When is it going to be your time? When are you going to finally show up in the playoffs and get to the NBA finals, which they were able to 2 years later? Now, can you name the three teams that were able to overcome a 2-0 deficit? You should know one of these. Now, I won't be surprised if, you don't get it, but looking up this, I sure as hell didn't know it until I looked it up. I remember hearing it in the past, but if I were to be asked this question, I don't think I would have been able to guess any one of these questions.
This is
honestly
the NBA Finals?
NBA Finals. The three teams that were able to overcome a 2-0 deficit.
Are the Warriors one? Didn't they come back from one of them? No?
The Warriors are not one. The Cavs are the only team in NBA Finals to overcome the 3-1 deficit.
Okay.
With LeBron. And that was the year that Klay Thompson, said that he must have been in his feelings and must have been, a little too sensitive. And then Draymond Green got suspended for game 6. That was that same series.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, NBA Finals. Three teams. One happened recently. One happened against a team that is in this year's NBA Finals. There's a hint. And then one is near and dear to our hearts.
It just lay them on me, dude. I'm tight. My alcohol's clouding my brain this morning. My feet are the biggest thing on my mind.
2021 Bucks.
Oh, duh.
So against the Phoenix Suns in 2021.
The great Monty Williams collapse, yes.
The Suns,
how could I forget?
Got the first two games, and then the Bucks went on to win four straight to win the NBA Finals. The next one, this was the one where I said it was against a team that is in this year's NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Dallas Mavericks. They went up 2-0 and then lost 4 straight to the Miami Heat, the Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal Miami Heat team. They won 4 straight over the Dallas Mavericks in that NBA Finals.
Oh, I forgot that Dallas, they were kind of close to getting 2 at that point.
They were up 2-0 in that series and then lost 4 straight. And then the other team, this was the one that is near and dear to our hearts, Jordan, the 1977 Portland Trailblazers. They were down 2-0 to the Philadelphia 76ers, and then Bill Walton, rest in peace, and those Trailblazers were able to win 4 straight to win the NBA Finals. Another fun fact about that Trailblazers team that I did not know, that was their first playoff appearance ever for the Trailblazers. Like, that core of players, I think maybe as a franchise, I don't know, I'd have to look that up, but the whole adage of this team, they don't have playoff experience. They haven't been here before. I'm not going to take them to go to the NBA Finals or win the NBA because they've never been here. They don't have the experience. This was one of those teams that threw it back in the face of pundits, of the media, of everybody, because they had not been to this position ever before.
And yeah, it was their first playoff season ever.
There you go. First playoff season ever in Trailblazers history led to a championship in 1977 and them overcoming a 2-0 deficit.
Only won 49 games that year.
Really?
Yes.
I know that I want to say that they were like the 3 seed in the West.
They were the second of 5 in the, I think, yeah, second of 5.
Second of 5 seeds?
Yeah.
Five, wait, what?
maybe that's their division.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That would make a little bit more sense, yeah.
No, Well, yeah, yeah, I think, yeah, because it's just weird because on the reference page it says like 7 sometimes, but then it's 5 because I think they were like, they did like a Western conference or a Western division with the Blazers, Lakers, Timberwolves, like Nuggets all in one, and that's when it was 7. So I gotcha.
And from this list, there was only one team that had ever overcame a 2-0 deficit twice in one playoff run, and that was the 2021 Bucks. They were in the NBA Finals, overcame the deficit 2-0, won the series 4-2. And I want to say it was either their second round or the conference finals. They were also down 2-0.
Jeez.
And they won the series in 7 games. So they did drop another game in that series, but they are the only team in NBA history to go down 2-0 twice in a playoff run and win both those series.
That's extra impressive because you think about the actual numbers of playoff games. You're literally looking at almost half a season, you know, if you're playing the 28 games. And if actually, heck, now with the play-in, you could play 30 or more games essentially just in the playoffs if you make it to the NBA Finals. So that's impressive. That's why those comebacks are so rare.
So a little bit of fun little history right there. I was curious the other day because, again, it's like that 3-0 deficit where a team wins 4 straight. We will see it someday. Yeah. It will happen. But the fact that we have gone over 400 playoff series, game 7 series in the NBA, and have yet to see it happen. And then we've only seen the 2-0 deficit overcame with 4 straight wins. 3% of the time, 3.4% of the time. That's pretty rare in itself, too.
Another perfect game in MLB or this happening first? Which do you predict, Joe?
Another perfect game?
Like, which a perfect game coming, or like, which will happen first? A perfect game in MLB from today, or a series deficit being won by a team down 3-0?
I'll go perfect game.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go perfect game. Because the fact that we've seen a perfect game, I mean,
good point.
What was the last one? Was Felix, though?
I believe it.
We just
didn't
got
the Astros. Yeah, the Astros kid threw a perfect game this year, I thought.
Rennell Blanco did not.
No, it was a no-hitter. My bad.
Yeah.
Thought we got one since Felix, but it might have been.
I was
going to
say, I feel like we just had one like
last year. Yeah, like last year. Yeah.
I was like, wait a second.
Armando Galarraga. Just kidding.
Well, yeah, let's not do that. But MLB perfect game.
I got
games.
A Corvette out of the deal. He's all right.
Oh, my God. This kills me. It's like it literally just happened. There's too many damn sports, man. Domingo Germán.
Thank you.
From the Yankees last year. That's what it was. All right. Dear God. Okay, let's take a break. Hour number one in the books. We got some football stuff to get to. Team has been selected for Hard Knocks. I want to get to some audio that has to do with our poll question for today. By the way, our poll question on the 1080 The Fan Twitter account, brought to you by Zima. Which Kansas City Chiefs player would you want to get tased by Secret Service? Is it Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Harrison Butker, or Rashee Rice? And the numbers have shifted. Now, the leader in this poll, it is not. He has stayed the leader in this the entire time. And right now, still Harrison Butker in the lead at 44%. But we'll get to some Travis Kelce, though. He is coming up the rear at 29.6%.
Yeah, they're all just jealous because he's with Tay-Tay and they're not. That's where that's coming
Rashee
from.
Rice, he started out at 5% in this poll. He has now climbed the rankings. He is tied with Patrick Mahomes at 13%.
It's because they remembered what he did.
They're like, wait, why is he on this? Oh,
crap.
Right. All right, let's take a break. Hour number two coming up here. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.